We are live. I'm glad you are with us today. We're here at Mission Point, Sunday morning. Appreciate all you folks being on. Sometimes I think our time is a little different. Our time schedule is, I don't know, seems to be 10:30. Some people's, I think it has a little delay as we're going on. But either way, I'm glad you're with us today. Hope all you guys are doing well. We're doing well here. I just wanted to say thank you so much for all of the folks that have given and all the folks that are continue to send in your tithes and offerings. And man, I really appreciate it. I love you guys so much. We're continuing on. We're doing the best that we can to literally go back and continue on every day, paying for everything as we can. We still have to support our missionaries, and we thank you for your faithful support. You know, Easter is last week. It's a week past Easter. And in the Bible account, they literally went back to their normal jobs. They went back to doing everything that they normally did. Unfortunately, we can't do that here today. Are we having difficulties? We may be having difficulties. All right. We may have to improvise here. Hang on. All right, we're back on. Okay. So, even though we can't go back to our regularly scheduled jobs, we'll just have to continue on. Lord willing, I think we have something in the mix where this will be done with. But either way, it doesn't matter. Look, it doesn't matter whether we have an epidemic going on. It doesn't matter what we have. We're still in spiritual warfare, and that's the important. We're still going on with spiritual war. Dr. Frank Page stated that the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And I think we forget that sometimes, especially when life goes easy for us, especially when things are well. And so spiritual warfare goes on continually. And every believer in Christ should have a desire to be found faithful. So we need to be fighting, especially in the world in which we live in. Man, we need to be obedient to God instead of man. Peter said that in Acts chapter 4. And so I think it was Florida. There's a pastor that was arrested for having church services. And even though it's during this epidemic, listen, folks, this is an attack on our amendment rights. I'm glad that Governor DeWine kind of partnered with all of the leadership in churches, didn't actually close them, but gave them, you know, hey, let each pastor have his own idea of what they want to do. And so we want to make sure that our people are safe. I want to make sure that you're safe. But I'm glad some states aren't forcing people to do certain things. But I understand that Mississippi, and I forget the other state, they're actually arresting people that are having drive-in services. So even though some states are allowed to even do that still, some states are even being arrested because of that. Matter of fact, there are people that are pro-life. These people were protesting with their First Amendment rights peacefully across from an abortion clinic, which abortion clinics are shut down. They're not essential business, but nonetheless, they're still allowed to operate. These people were peacefully protesting, and they were shut down and arrested. In other countries, governments trying to force people that have COVID-19, that have been confirmed cases, they're going into their homes and trying to take them out and put them in a quarantine area. Some of our elected officials are trying to do that in America. That oversteps their bounds on our Fourth Amendment rights. Governments trying to push back the background checks for guns and ammunition and all this stuff so that it's taking longer, it's taking forever for people to get guns and ammunition. And they're just trying to impede on Second Amendment rights. And it shouldn't be because of a global epidemic where they try to do that. We need to stand up. We need to stand firm for your constitutional rights. Because here's the issue. Like all these other communist countries and socialist countries and different places that have eliminated Christianity, if you lose your constitutional rights here, you lose your biblical freedoms. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says this, for freedom, for freedom. Christ has set us free. So stand firm in that freedom. And don't subject yourself again to a yoke of slavery. See, we don't want to go back to slavery. We don't want to be slaves to sin. And we don't want to be slaves to a government that tells us what to do all the time. That's why we're free. That's why this is the greatest country in the world. There's a battle going on. And I want you to join in on the fight, lest we lose our voice. So let me open up with a word of prayer. If you're with us today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verse 1 to 5. We're going to get back into our study. We've got some important information to give out. So let me pray, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, that we will be ending this live Facebook streaming soon. If you're willing, Father, I pray that we can get back into our churches, have people face to face, maybe put some new things into practice, but allow us to come back together. We want to meet, we want to be together, we want to grow together, and I'm thankful for all the faithful folks that are still with us, watching us this morning. And so we just pray for our services, Lord, as everybody's in their own spot, but that we're more mindful of your word and growing in knowledge and grace of your Son. And so we just ask that you'd have your way today, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So if you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. Paul says, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it be good to be left in Athens alone. So if you remember back in Acts 16 and 17, Paul was in Thessalonica only 3 Sabbath days. And so he establishes this church. All these people are getting saved. And because of persecution, he was forced out of town. He couldn't continue on. I mean, for Corinth, he was there 18 months. In Ephesus, I believe he was there 3 years. But in Thessalonica, he was only there 3 Sabbaths. And so persecution came. He was forced out of town. But he says when he could no longer endure it, he wanted to know what was going on back in Thessalonica. And I know that's the same way with you guys. You guys are chomping at the bit. You're trying to get back together. You want to have church again. You want to go to church. You want to do some kind of drive-in church. People want anything. And it seems like right now we can no longer endure it. But I encourage you to hang in there. Seems like there's some light at the end of the tunnel. And I pray this is actually going to happen. But they're actually talking about opening up May 1st. Getting back into the swing of things very slowly. And I think the first thing that the governor was talking about, and this is just talk, but he was talking about opening up church services for Sunday, which would be great. And so pray for the leaders. Pray that God instills into their minds. God's still in control of all the things that go on. And so I pray that that happens. Man, I want to see you guys. But if it does, that'll be... May 1st, I think, is a Friday, so that'd be like the 3rd. May 3rd will be the first Sunday that we'll be together. And if that happens, then the next Sunday after that, it'll be Mother's Day. How great would that be to be together back in church for Mother's Day? But in either case, things are not going to get back to normal, so to speak. Things from here on out are going to be different. Life is not going to be the way it once was. And so we need to be prepared for that as well. Look at verse 2. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, and he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Paul sent Timothy back to them at Thessalonica because he wanted to encourage them. Now, I can't send somebody to every one of you because of social distancing. But me and Matt, we're trying to give you things to keep you growing, to keep you encouraged, keep you informed, and something, anything, I guess, to help get through this. And that's what these words mean. Paul says he wanted to strengthen and encourage. Now, very simply, the word strengthen means to support or to establish, to have a sound foundation. And I want your faith in God to be very strong, to be established. It needs to be solid. And then I want to encourage you to apply what you know. Strengthen you in faith and in God, and then go and apply what you know. That's That's basically the essence of what he's talking about. You're strengthened, your foundation of your faith, and then you get encouraged to go apply it. Go apply that stuff to your life. What you believe about God and what you believe about Christ, that is the key to actually how you live. How strong you stand firm when trials and persecutions come is based off what you believe about God and Christ. And I want to increase your capacity for trusting God. I want to grow that faith. I want to encourage you to apply all these things that you're learning. Now look at verse 3. Paul says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that you're appointed to this stuff. Now the Greek word for shaken, it actually means to wag the tail. And it has the idea of being so shaken by circumstances that you flop back and forth, kind of like a fish. You catch a fish, you're trying to unhook him, and he either hits the ground or it's in the boat, and he's just flopping back and forth. His tail's going crazy. And that's what to be shaken is. Don't be shaken. Don't flop back and forth like a fish. And the word afflictions there, it means to be under the thumb of pressure. And so many of you know what the pressure, to be under the thumb of pressure by experience, what that feels like. Some things are going on now. Maybe some of you are going through some of these pressures of maybe not having a job or being affected by this, and things are, you just don't know what's going to happen and how things are, you're going to get through this stuff. Remember this. Your trial doesn't matter as much as how you respond to it. Most folks focus on the details, the difficulties of the actual trial. God is much more concerned in how we respond than with the trial itself. Somebody once said this, God will take care of what you go through, but you take care of how you go through it. Paul says, you know, we're appointed to this stuff. We're going to go through this stuff. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have persecutions by people. Epidemics are going to come up. This stuff is just normal. Matter of fact, that's why Paul says in verse 4. Look at verse 4. He says, for in fact, we told you before when we were with you that you would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know it. See, persecutions and trials and tribulations and all this stuff is normal. These are things that are going to happen to every person in every generation. Now look with me at verse 5. He says this, for this reason. Okay, now it's coming down to the crux. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. See, Paul got to the point, as he says, that he could no longer stand it. He wanted to know where the Thessalonians were as far as their faith, lest Satan, the tempter, had tempted them and all of his work was useless. See, that's what we do here at Mission Point. We have children's ministry. We have kids ministry. We have junior church. Matt is our youth pastor who takes care of teens. We have adult classes. We have Sunday morning. We have Wednesday night. We have life groups on Sunday night. We do all of these things for a specific reason. Because we want to increase your faith. We want to grow your faith. And we want to know where your faith is. Unless all of the work that we've been doing since this church had been conceived back in, I believe, 58. Unless all of that work is for nothing. See, Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. He was genuinely concerned with where they were in their spiritual state. And just like Paul, I know Matt's the same. I want to know where you guys are as far as trusting God. Have you abandoned him? You just going back and doing, you know, all the things that you want to do, just waiting for everything to subside, binge watching all your stuff on Netflix and Hulu and, you know, Amazon Prime and whatever else you have. Have you stopped walking daily by faith? Or are you still trusting in God in all of the circumstances? Or just going with the flow? You just going with the flow. I'm not, you know, government's going to take care of all this. Government will fix it. You know what? I'm sorry, I have to agree with President Ronald Reagan, who said government is the problem, not the solution. So we need to realize there's a bigger struggle going on. There's a bigger battle going on than what people actually see. But here's the idea. It's not that we don't trust in God, like as in salvation. I mean, you place your trust in God that you know that God's good enough to save you from your eternal punishment. But we're talking about our faith in God, the growth of our faith that's in question. Look, when the tempter comes, he wants to weaken your faith. And that's where it all started. Look what Satan did to Eve back in Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent, who was more crafty than any other beast that the Lord had made. He says to the woman, "Did God actually tell you that you can't eat of the tree?" You know, that's what Satan did. He weakened Eve's faith. She walked with God. She saw God. God told Adam. Adam told Eve that God's commands were clearly there. But Satan was allowed to come in and weaken her faith. And then she began to question things. Sometimes people say, well, how's God going to get me through this? Well, I don't know what's going to happen. Satan loves to shake the faith of believers. He loves to weaken it. That's why Peter calls him a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour in 1 Peter 5:8. Paul calls him in 2 Corinthians 11:3 a deceiver. He is the enemy of God. And he often flatters believers in order to lead them astray. See, Timothy's task was to establish believers, encourage them or comfort them in their faith, because it's our faith in God that keeps our feet planted firmly on the ground when the enemy attacks. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's what Satan does. He wants to weaken our faith so that we stop pleasing God. Without faith in God, we're defeated already. The Apostle John says this in 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Sometimes I wonder what people think a pastor is supposed to do. You know, what do you think a pastor is supposed to do? Some people only think we should be paid for 2 days a week because we only work Sunday and Wednesday. Some people think we're just supposed to be entertaining, keep your attention so you don't fall asleep during the service. But what a pastor is supposed to do is to help you get your faith so strong that when you go through trouble, I encourage you to apply what you've learned so that you can stand firm in the Word of God, so that the situation around you has no effect on you, and you go through this situation as God would have you. That's a pastor's responsibility. That's where a pastor's heart should be. Man, I love you guys. And I want your faith to be so strong that nothing that this life throws at you can shake your steadfastness. God told Israel in Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you a shepherd after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Look, me and Matt aren't here for fun and games. We are here to feed you with knowledge and understanding. I pray that you're growing. Even though we're apart, continue on. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul says in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be saturated with God's Word. Look, folks, stay grounded in the Word of God. Stay safe. God bless. We'll see you soon. Have a good week.